worry you too much. Take a little bit of a different direction. If you want to open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to say thank you to those that were able to come out and help with their cleaning day on Wednesday or on Friday and or Saturday. I'm not sure which they did. Trying to get things, doing a good cleaning for the spring, for Easter service. I wish Brother Shelton could have come over here. I told a few of our folks this morning, my goal this year is going to be to make sure that all five of the fivefold ministry are in our churches throughout the year. Evangelists, pastors, apostles, prophets, and teachers. Brother Shelton is genuinely a prophet. I say that word so hesitantly because prophecy has been, it's been turned into a game. And, you know, somebody standing up there saying, "You there, ma'am, God is going to do great things with you." That's not prophecy. That's stupidity. That's stupidity. Anybody could, that's not prophecy. First of all, Jeremiah was a prophet. Look at Jeremiah's ministry. He wasn't received. He wasn't liked. He was tasked with dealing with the deep things, the heavy things. What Brother Shelton did this morning is he took everybody in that building and pulled them all together. And he touched one centralized nerve. That's what that gifting does. And that doesn't mean that God cannot speak into our lives and futures. But those things, a lot of those things, again, they just become hokey pokey for people's, if we could be honest with ourselves, we would say that we are fickle. There's a reason, I don't want to offend any of you, but if you get offended, I don't want to say. There's a reason some people drive the country trying to go to prophecy conferences. They're enamored by all the pizzazz and the jazz that they're witnessing. If you think you have to drive across the country to get a word from the Lord, you're not even a Christian. God will give you a word while you're in the bathroom. He'll give you a word mowing your lawn. And you got to be careful. I say all the time, and I'm going to always say to the day I die, or you fire me. And I don't think you can. I'm not sure. I have to check the bylaws. You got to be very careful on who you give your ear to. Just because somebody's on the radio or the television every week, you don't know their lifestyle. There were some of these, I don't want to call it names, but some of these big name guys from the 80s, I think they all started off with the right intentions. But I remember some horror stories coming out from some of these big names. I won't mention their names, I don't want to embarrass them, but I remember one person used to work for them. She said that we would get the checks in the mail. And they were instructed to take the check out and throw everything else in the garbage. And they filmed, took pictures of the dumpster full of envelopes and prayer requests. All they wanted were the checks. I mean, to send $20 to get a vial of holy water? Care to share with me where that's at in the Bible, where God sold this holy anointed water? So supposedly, it's not in the scripture. People have, they have perverted what God has intended for his people. So, I mean, I don't think anybody disagrees with me, but I'm right. So anyway, that's why I appreciated about Brother Shelton, and I shared, I won't give you the details, but we didn't even know him. We never met him. And he spoke into our lives exactly what we were dealing with at that moment over the phone. And while he was speaking, some of y'all be able to relate to this. I'm like, nah, he probably talked to somebody or something. And all of a sudden he says, and you have a hard time receiving things like this. You're always wondering if it's of God or if not. That was it. That sealed the deal for me. The Lord dealt with it while I was in the middle of thinking about it. And then on that day, and if you've already heard this, you're gonna have to deal with it. But it was a very important moment for us because we were being gutted by the Lord. And if you don't think, you got to listen to the message. He did such a great job explaining why God has to break you and gut you. Gutting is my words. But while I was talking to him on the phone, Brother Michael, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, go ask your wife if she didn't ask me for a word today. And I went in the bedroom after I got off the phone, and I said, you asked the Lord for something today, didn't you? And she began to sob. And so I told God that he had to give me something today or I couldn't make it another day. And Brother Shelton spoke directly into her life exactly what she was dealing with, to a T, to her emotional stability at that time. And so, you know, I thank the Lord that for real men of God, real prophets. And let me just say this last thing, too, if I can. I'm probably boring you, I mean, especially after this morning, if you were in Jefferson. I'm gonna say this last thing, too. If and some of y'all will disagree with this, but that's okay. You're still okay. You're welcome to be wrong. If they have to advertise prophet so and so at such and such church Sunday night. But first of all, if you have to identify yourself as a prophet, you're not a prophet. You're not a prophet. All these self-indulged titles is ridiculous and it's nonsense. And you know, apostle so and so. Brother Shelton has never spoken himself as a prophet, but everybody I've spoken to that knew him said this man's a real prophet. That's how you know a real prophet. And I'll tell you, if you'll take the time to listen to it, I'm telling you, it was powerful. And I told him I want him to come back this year. I said, I don't care, come back for a month straight, come back every month, but we're going to do something. And he said we'd make it work because I felt like we need what he had there. So I said all that to say, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, we need all of that operating in our churches. And that's not all hokey pokey stuff, man. The prophets that have come into our church and changed the direction of our church, there were never any big pajow, kachow things. It was all deep in the spirit. And when they left, you felt the shift. Something was transitioning. You could, because that individual, they brought that anointing, and I guess I'll take me into my message with them, and it helped change the trajectory of the church, and it'll help change the trajectory of your life as well. Let's read 1 Timothy 1 and 18. Before I read, am I okay that I care enough about you folks to try and caution you from a bunch of hokey pokey kooky people? We're just, people are just enamored by all this stuff, and that's not gospel. I'm not saying, hey, man, God does miracles. I believe it. The way Brother Shelton said this morning was pretty powerful. He said, we all believe that God do miracles from here all the way on down, but nobody believes God can do a miracle in your mind. That's true. Heal my body, touch my, how about my mind? Heal my mind. The Bible says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the first thing God's got to help us with. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. I want to preach to you for a few minutes. The Lord will help me on the topic of shipwrecked faith. And we'll ask Brother Jerome, I believe, to pray for us.
God, help us today be able to get our mind focused on the flow today, on the Word of God. Lord, to apply it to our lives. God, we pray, Lord, for a fresh anointing over Pastor. Lord, that every word that would come from him, let it be from you, Jesus. Let us take it in, God, and be able to apply it to our lives and our day. Lord, we praise you.
Amen. Since I'm married, am I allowed to say my wife looks hot today? I just get. I want to embarrass her. The Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy, who he labels a son in the gospel, says to him, I'm committing this charge unto you according to the prophecies which went before thee. I wondered today as I read this text, what things by some of our elders, our peers, our forefathers, our biological parents, what prophecies were spoken of over those of us here, maybe at a young age, things that we never knew about? Something of the sort, you're a baby, and mom stands over the crib and says, in the name of Jesus, she's going to do great things for the kingdom of God. Things that you wouldn't even be able to know. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let him change the world around him. God, let him be a vessel for your glory, for your kingdom, for your power. Paul says to Timothy, there were prophecies that went before you. And he says, and I'm charging you according to those prophecies, that by them you mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, and they have made shipwreck. So Paul says, because some have put away their good conscience, it has shipwrecked their faith. Because some have chosen to no longer allow their conscience, if you please, to be their moral compass or their guide. They don't understand how it has affected their faith that they walk with and that we live by. These are Paul's words, they're not mine. But he tells Timothy, he warns him in a sense, and he charges him, according to the prophecies that went on before him, that by those prophecies that he would war a good warfare. To simplify that today, I would say to you that there are those under the sound of my voice today that have had things spoken over you or spoken into your life. And for whatever reason or another, those things may have as of yet come to pass. And every person would be at a different stage. So it would be very hard to try and clearly articulate what I'm trying to say. But if the Lord is in this, then you will know exactly what I'm trying to say, because you'll know those things. I had a man years ago who I know, because I don't receive it if I don't know it. Don't ever come up to me and give me a word from the Lord if I don't know you, because I won't receive it. And that doesn't mean I know your name, and I know I'm like a broken record when I say this stuff, but I mean, I know you. I know your life. I know your ministry. I know the ins and outs of you. So moving on. So he come up behind me. We were at a conference, and he put his hands on my back, and he began to pray, and I gave one ear to him as he was praying. And he said, God, he said, this man is going to bring forth great leaders one day. That was a prophecy that was spoken over me. At the time, I didn't fully realize what it was, but I never forgot that word. And in trying to groom our young men and our young ladies and prepare them for ministry, I've always remembered those words. I always remember that prophecy that was spoken over me. And at that moment, it went forward through time. And that began to touch the hearts of those who would one day become a part of our church. And one day they would be here doing something for the kingdom of God. I didn't know who they were, but God knew, and the man praying didn't know who they were, but the prophecy knew who they were. And that prophecy went forth, and that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. There were things that has gone before you that were spoken in the Spirit, of the Spirit. And he said, I'm charging you that you will fight the good fight, that you will war a good warfare because of those prophecies. We don't always stay in the fight because it feels good. And we don't always stay in the battle because the reward is so wonderful. But sometimes we simply stay in it because of the prophecies that have gone before us. Sometimes we hold on to those things, and that's the thing that keeps me pressing. Why? Because it reminds me that God has something for me that He has purposed in my life. And every decision that I make, it's important more than what I would ever acknowledge. It's important that I continue to stay in this thing, and I continue to war the good warfare and hold the faith and my good conscience, so I don't become like those who have put those things away. Farther on in this text, Paul names two specific individuals. Alexander is one of them. And when you go back in the scripture, you'll find that Alexander was there, and the Jews were ready to lay hold of him. And he tried to stop them somehow, and he put his hands up, the scripture says. And the other apostles grabbed him, and they drug him out before he was about to get killed. Somewhere along the line from that until this text here, Paul begins to talk about Alexander having made shipwreck of his own faith. Somewhere along the line, he surrendered his conscience, and he no longer held fast to the things that he once did. And he probably forgot the very prophecies that were spoken over his life. And because of that, Paul calls that out, and he uses that as a parallel example of what Timothy shouldn't do and why he should not do it. The Bible teaches us that where there's no vision, the people perish. I want to tell you, getting up and going to Sunday morning, I'm thankful that you're here, but that's not a vision. A vision takes you far beyond the next Sunday. It takes you far beyond Easter. A vision actually, in my opinion, it really has no ending. As far as the human mind will allow you to see, there is that vision. And I can't give myself a lot of accolades about a lot of things, but if there's one thing I can say, is God has given me a vision, and I'm always looking far ahead. As far as that vision will allow me at the time being, is seeing where God is leading us and what God wants to do. And the worst thing that you can do is you can surrender that vision because you have lost your conscience, and you no longer allow God to minister to you and to pull at you and to speak to you for whatever reason, whether you get tired or bitter or offended or whatever it might be. The worst thing you can do is put that away and let your faith become shipwrecked, because there were prophecies that have gone before you and I. And I can promise you, every person in this place, somebody prayed for you. Somebody prophesied over you. Somebody spoke a word for you. You may never know what it is, but I'm here to tell you today, there was something in your life that was spoken. And I'm here to tell you, you need to continue to fight this good warfare. It's something worth fighting, because there are things still in the Spirit that God has not yet fulfilled that needs to be fulfilled. I can't speak for all of you, but I got to tell you, over the years, man, there are a lot of times I just wanted to be carnal. One of the problems is we can't be real with each other. That's why so many people feel like they can't live up to a certain standard, because we can't be real. My wife and I were talking about this on our way back from out of town yesterday. We were talking about how they're, especially amongst ministers, man. I mean, you got to act all prim and proper, And that's a ship that will crash and burn one day, I can promise you. Because you got to be able to be real. And my reality is, because man, there are a lot of days I'm just like, man, I just like to be carnal today. Whew. I would just like to just not pretend like there's not a Bible, there's no heaven, there's no hell, and just let me go. And you know, I don't even know what I'll do. I'll let the flesh lead me. But not having been raised in the church, I know somewhere, because I feel it, there were prophecies spoken over me. I know that, and I know the ones, just a handful, if not less, that I heard, the one being the one I shared with you a little bit ago. And if I'm going to be able to help mold and raise those great leaders, then I've got to continue the war, the good warfare. I've got to allow those words to be my guide. And I've got to let those things keep my conscience alive. Because there's so much that is resting on everything that we do or say. And yes, that might be heavy at times. And yes, you might not feel like you can carry it. But I've got news for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? You can carry what God has called you to carry. You are able, because in your moments of weakness, in your weariness, when you look to Him, He has a way of making your load lighter. But you've got to use that as you plow forward into this life. And as you make your decisions every day to live for the Lord the way He calls you to live, you've got to keep fighting the good warfare and do so because of the prophecies that have been spoken in your life. Some could say, well, that's not my fault. Somebody wanted to speak something I didn't want to do. And it isn't. I guess that would be a good time to remind you that we reap what we sow. And so if you don't want to allow those things to lead you, there'd be plenty of things you've spoken to your children and your grandchildren that they'll just easily forget and put aside. We do reap what we sow. And when you war a good warfare, you're going to find your children and your grandchildren when they want to give up. But something inside of them just stirs in the back of their mind. Something somewhere, they'll remember a word that was spoken by their grandmother or by their grandfather. Somewhere, somehow, that's going to come back to the surface. It's going to come out right there at the opportunistic time, because that prophecy never dies. Only our will does. Only our desire does. But the prophecy, we live on through eternity. And I'm here to tell somebody today, I feel like God is calling you to tell you, you need to understand there are things that have been spoken into your life that have not yet been fulfilled. And you must continue to fight this good fight. You must continue to war this good warfare. Now in 1 Timothy 4 and 14, we see this topic addressed again. Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I know I said that word wrong. These are not talking about gifts of the Spirit. These are our personal giftings. Whatever that might be, however that might apply to you, he says, do not neglect that gift that is in you. It's in you. And it was given to you by prophecy when men of old laid their hands upon you and they prayed the will of God over you and they prayed the word of God into your life and they begin to prophesy into your future and they begin to, in the spirit, go forward from that moment and lay stone upon stone and create a pathway where there was before time no pathway. That's what we're talking about. I'm asking you today to understand that your presence today is more than just going to church on a Sunday. I'm asking you to understand that God is trying to revive something inside of us. He's trying to revive some words that were spoken. He wants to revive some promises that were spoken. He wants to revive our faith. He wants to revive our conscience so we do not shipwreck our faith and become like Alexander. Now let me take just a little bit of a turn as I read this next text in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13. It says, "Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom." So we're looking at the character of a man. We're not speaking to gender when I say man. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now, you'll understand what I'm going to say here in just a few moments. Just hold tight with me. So, I'm not very good with my words. And so, let me try to see if I can do this scripture justice. Here's what Paul, or James is saying. He's saying, okay, you think you're wise? Okay. He said, if you think you're a wise old man. You're a wise old gal. You have wisdom. He said, show this wisdom in your conversation. Show it with a spirit of meekness. He said, that's how you're going to show what you're claiming or what you're proclaiming. Are you with me so far? And then he says, but if you have bitter envyings and strife in your heart, he said, don't lie against the truth, because the truth is, you're not this smart person you think you are. He said, this wisdom that you're professing, it does not come from above, but it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. And then he says, this verse 16, I think, is very, very powerful. And I want you to really key in with me on this. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now watch, let's finish the next two and we'll come back to it. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Here's why I wanted to put this scripture in here. Because when we read in 1 Timothy 1 and 19, he says that some have put away their good conscience and they've made shipwreck of their faith. How do you get to that place where you put away your good conscience and you make a shipwreck of your faith? Well, I think one of the first ways we do this is when we fail to realize that the wisdom we profess to be living by, that guides our decisions every day, that becomes our moral compass, the wisdom wherewith we serve God with, when we fail to realize that that's not really wisdom that's been sent from God, but it's really earthly and sensual and devilish wisdom. And how do we define that? And he says in verse 16, where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. If you want to allow the adversary to strip you of those promises of God, if you want to allow him to rob you of your future, if you want to allow him to take away everything that God has done in the past and what he still plans to do in the future, fail to recognize how envying and strife is destroying the balance in your own life. He said, where envying and strife is, there's confusion. Have you ever dealt with confusion in your life? I'm not just talking about saying, oh, I'm confused, but just confusion. Sometimes you feel off. Sometimes you just don't know what's wrong. What's wrong in the house, and why are we at each other's throats all the time? Why does it feel like there's no joy or there's no peace here? I don't understand what's going on. And the scripture clearly points us to this envying and to this strife. Those are the things that open the door for confusion. And all confusion is going to do is allow evil to manifest itself in many ways. I wish I could make my point in this and you would understand what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is when we go from this godly home to where it appears as if the Lord is laying the groundwork and we are joyfully walking into our future until one day we look around us and it appears as if our home and our world is falling apart. Somewhere in there, Satan has tried to usurp those prophecies that have been spoken into your life by bringing envying and strife into your home, because those things now birth confusion. And when all is said and done, you even think about the will of God, the mind of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God. You no longer have a hunger or a desire to do the work of the Lord because this spirit now has become the dominant spirit in our homes. And that is exactly what the adversary intends to do. He wants to bring confusion. And if we allow little things, bickering, if we allow those little divisions into our lives, into our families, and we allow that confusion into our home, the end result is bigger than what you can imagine. What it is, it's the future. It's prophecies that may go to your grave, never having been fulfilled. So it behooves us to pray and seek God to bring balance into our home and balance into our congregation, so God can then stir up those gifts again, and he can stir up those prophecies again, and he can get us back on the path that God has placed us on. I have felt over the years the times those prophecies in my life seemed like they were just kind of fading. And I can tell you, in those times, there was confusion. I don't think we always recognize confusion. Have you ever talked to somebody, and they're just sharing with you, and in your mind, you're like, my God, you are so confused. Have you ever done that? You ever had that kind of conversation with somebody? They don't know it. Where does that come from? Where does that confusion come from? Let's take it a step further. If you don't know what God's will is for your life, there's only two reasons. Number one, God has not yet revealed it. Or number two, there's just confusion in your life. But where's that confusion coming from? Envy, strife. Those things are works of the adversary meant to bring confusion, a whirlwind of confusion into our lives. Because when you have confusion, you don't have clarity. You don't think about the will of God and the mind of God. The only thing you think about is how frustrated you are at the moment and what's going on in your life. And it seems like everything's falling apart. And I don't know what's happened to our family. I don't know what's happened in our home, because every evil work has come from that confusion. And that's what the adversary purposes to do. Listen to me now. You better not give up on your lost children, somebody. You better start stirring up those things in their life. If you're a grandmother here and you've prayed over your grandkids and they're not serving the Lord, I'm here to tell you today, you need to go put some water on that seed today. You need not wait any longer. You go water that seed and you pray and you say, God, I'm going to stir up that prophecy that was spoken in their life some time ago. I will not let it die, and I will not let myself get distracted where I forget about it. And I'm not going to buy into that silliness where I don't want to pressure them. Hey, it could be a heaven or hell issue. You might might want to put a little pressure on them. That's okay. But forget the pressure if that makes you feel better. Stir the prophecy in them. Whatever things have been spoken, remind them of that. Remind them. Speak that life into them. Speak that life into them. Don't allow that seed to die. Don't allow it to wither away. Speak life. Somebody here today needs to go back to prophecies that have been spoken in yours or your children or your grandchildren's lives. I really feel this morning. I feel like some of you have, you've resolved to allow your children where they are. But I'm here to tell you today, God does not want you to leave them in that mess. God wants you to stir some things up in their life. And I promise you this, if you'll stir it up and you'll put some water on it, God will put some life back into it. And He'll let some growth happen again. Even if it's a little bit of growth, just a little bud, just something that pops out of the ground to prove to you that it's still alive and it's not died. But we cannot allow the adversary to take our families and our promises and our future off into eternity. War the good warfare, he told Timothy. War the good warfare. War the good warfare. War the good warfare. Don't sit on the sidelines. War the good warfare. It's worth it. And everybody, I believe, I really genuinely believe that there are very few people have not had promises spoken into their life. Whether they knew it or not. There are very few people. I'm telling you, I talk to folks, and I'll try and begin to wrap it up. I'll maybe go a little quick today. I don't know, but I've talked to people, and it's almost everybody I've ever spoken to. Yeah, my family used to go to church. My great-great-grandfather was a preacher. What happened? Better yet, if that man of God was the man of God you say he is, what prophecies did he speak over his family? That have become dormant, that have not been stirred up. What things has the adversary been allowed to do with strife and envy? And what confusion has come into the home that now has brought you two generations removed from a man and woman of God that were praying people, that sacrificed everything for their calling and for their ministry? You might not know it, but I'm telling you today, I am telling you that you are sitting here because of words that were spoken, promises that were made, prayers that interceded in the middle of the night, things you're never going to know about, but God knows about it. And I'm here to tell you, God is trying to stir some things up in somebody. He wants you to get out of the realm of mediocre, and He wants you to start operating in your wish somebody was with me. He wants you to start operating in your giftings. And if you don't know what they are, come and talk to me. But God wants you to be a vessel. He wants you to be used for His kingdom. And when you put first the kingdom, guess what's going to happen to those other seeds? Guess what's going to happen to your lost loved one? I'm telling you, God's going to stir up their giftings. I wish somebody was with me and understood what the Holy Ghost was trying to say to us today.
And I'll tell you what, to take it a step further, if I were you, Sister Janine, Brother Mike, I'm going to call you out. I love watching you bring all those grandbabies in every Sunday. You have no idea. You have no idea, because I, as a child, my mom, just for a couple years, got us on that church bus and brought us to Sunday school. I remember the day that God confirmed my calling to me. I didn't know it was a calling at the time. I know nothing about it. But I was about 16 years old, and I stood out in a little old shed we had. And I was just standing there. We ain't been to church in years. And I looked up. I'll never forget this day as long as I live. And I just said to myself, I'm going to do something great for God someday. I know I know that was a day that God began to cause my calling to manifest and materialize. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. Now, I'd love to say that I got in church the following Sunday, but I didn't. Don't become so discouraged that you give up on your children and your grandchildren. Don't become so disillusioned. And you know what I thought? You want to know what got me there? Brother Mike and Sister Jeanine, I'm going to tell you what it was. Those Sunday school lessons. I'm telling you. I don't remember one thing a preacher ever preached, a few miserable times I had to sit on that pew at a young age. That's the most horrible, ungodly thing in the world for a child to have to endure, is someone like me. Look, see, look at this poor guy. He's like, Jesus, when is he going to stop? It's all right, buddy. We understand. We were all with you. We were all with you. There are some adults that feel the same way. Look at Angel. She's like, God, I hope he hurries up. But I'm going to tell you, I remember those Bible stories in Sunday school. And I know I've never told you this, but I'm telling you, you're doing something powerful when you march those kids into this church every Sunday. Something powerful. And I'm going to tell you, one day, one of those lessons is going to be a word spoken, and it's going to be imparted into their spirit. It's going to walk with them into their future. And there will come a time that is designated by the Lord where he says it's time now for that seed to grow. And God is going to reach down and he's going to begin to bring life out of those seeds. And only the Lord knows exactly what those children will do for the kingdom of God. In the meantime, don't neglect the gift that is in you. Lean on those prophecies. Hold fast onto them. Keep warring a good warfare. If you got to drag each other out of the house, drag each other out of the house. Would you stand with me? I'm not trying to use this, but it's a good opportunity. Tell your children, grandchildren, friends, they come to church with me on Easter Sunday. Let God touch you. Let him bless you. You can come one day. That's all it is, just one day. It may be one day to them, but it's never one day to the Lord. You'll never know what that one day will do. Be that one day, that one moment, that one word. God just needs, he just needs the opportunity. And so, I say to you today, don't make shipwreck of your faith. Keep that gift stirring inside of you. If you don't know what it is, ask the Lord, reveal it to me. Better yet, God, you don't have to reveal it to me. Just let me operate under your gifting, under your anointing. Let me be a vessel. Let me be an ambassador bound by Christ like Paul. Get that prophecy stirring again in your family. I feel so strongly that there are people here that have prophecies in your family you don't even know about. I feel it so strong that Satan just comes in and tries to wreck everything. Lord Jesus, I pray right now, gracious God, you are wise in all of your ways. You know, we don't know every detail, God. We don't know every heart, but you know. You know, Father, what you've come to do in this place today. You know what giftings, God, have lied dormant that you're trying to resurrect for your glory. God, for your kingdom, Jesus. I pray today, Lord, that something in this atmosphere, actually, I don't pray. I prophesy into this atmosphere right now, God. I prophesy, Lord, that those seed will begin to show new life again. And I prophesy, oh God, that giftings will begin to be stirred inside of people. God, that they would be used for your glory and for your kingdom. Let groundwork be laid. If we've got to fix the pathway, let's fix it, oh God. But let your will be done among everything, God. Let there be a revival of giftings, oh God, in this last generation, because we need people. God, engage in the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Would you lift your hands and call upon the Lord right now? Would you call upon Him? Would you talk to Him just like you're talking to a friend? Ask God where it fits in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if we come to the front as they sing. And I wonder if you'd pray together hand in hand with your spouse, with your mother, with your brother, with your father, with your children, whatever. And I wonder if you just pray. Say, God, let those prophecies of old be resurrected in our lives. Whatever they are, let them be resurrected, I pray. In the name of Jesus, for your glory, for your kingdom. Oh, gracious God. Hallelujah.
And all we want, and all we need, is found in Jesus. And all we ask is more of you.
Claim it right now. Claim it. Don't be bashful. Claim that in Jesus' name.
Can satisfy our heart's desire, and all we want is more of you. Satisfy our heart's desire, and all we want is more of you. For the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever, for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And all we want, and all we need, is found in Jesus. And all we want is more of you. Oh, our heart's desire, and all we yearn is more of you. For the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. shout it out from the mountain top. Yes, the Lord is good forever, for the Lord, for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and thou shalt it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever, for the Lord, for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and thou shalt hear out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever. Oh, we worship you, Lord.
Come on, let these angels continue to stir in this place today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let your will, O God, be revealed. Clear our minds of confusion, O God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We want you.
gracious Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this word. Lord, those prophecies, Lord, that were spoken, Lord, in the lives, Lord, for us, Lord, and our children and our grandchildren. Whether we know about them or not know about them, Lord, years ago. Lord, may we stir those prophecies, Lord. May we not let the enemy have the upper hand, Lord, and give up on our loved ones, Lord. Lord, we know, Lord, that word will come to pass. Lord, all we got to do is believe. Stir that prophecy, Lord, so it may come to pass, Lord, and be fulfilled, Lord, in our family's life. Lord, we know your word will not return void. Lord, help us, Jesus. Lord, we pray. Lord, whether we know or not, Lord, believe, Lord, that there is a word spoken, Lord, into our lives for our children and their children to come. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. And we give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.